Hi, everyone. We're back. Ray, Sandra, and Danielle are here to talk to you about real estate and related industry stuff that deals with real estate. And that brings us to the staple in the Tucson community, Rigo Arce, owner of Rigo Pest Prevention. How you doing, buddy?
Great to see everybody. And just love being at the show and in the studio and spending time with you folks.
I love to have you here.
Yeah, I thought we'd start off by reminding people where you're located at and how long you've been in the business.
Yeah, hey, okay, so we're up, our actual office is located on the northwest side of Tucson. Really cute little venue. If you're familiar with the Catalina Brewery, for those of you that like a good IPA, we're literally in the same strip mall as a Catalina Brewery. This is going to be off Ina Road and Camino Martin. So we're up there at 6914 North Camino Martin, right past Bedrock's Bowling Alley, where that used to be. Yeah. So we're in a nice suite there. And again, we're in that same strip as the Catalina Brewery. We've been there for the last 4 years. My company is now entering its 16th year of operation. We're 25 employees strong. And we've outgrown the building. We definitely, in 24, my partners and I are taking a very hard look at, making an investment, either a building, buying, we're not sure yet.
But, wow.
But this cute little place has really served us good the last 4 years, and everybody's there. You know, the guys are in the trucks, so they're out and about in the city. So we don't need a tremendous amount of space, but boy, when we have our monthly branch meetings, and of course, we bring the pizza, the wings, and whatever. The guys hear this food, they're there, And when they all assemble, it's standing room only. I mean, there's just no room.
Well, the good news is that people don't have to come to you, though, because you'll come to them.
That's right. That's right. So very, very rarely does someone knock on the door and come in with their pest control invoice and want to pay their bill. But great area. But we cover the whole metropolitan area. So even though we're located up on the northwest side of Tucson, we cover greater metropolitan area down all the way into Sahuarita, Green Valley, Vail,
Well, when you came in here, you flew in here, and like something was chasing you.
Yeah, we've got our track shoes on right now, and we are definitely feeling the pressure. The season is starting to pick up. We're getting that, the sun is popping out. The rains have done what they've done. Everything is starting to bloom. The weeds are popping up. The termites are singing and dancing. And then, of course, things with wings that sting.
Ooh, man, that's the title of this show.
Visiting a home near you. So, my guys are real busy. I tell them every spring, right when it gets about April, I tell them, tell the family you'll see them at Thanksgiving. And that's it. Say goodbye.
Well, so what are you seeing out there as far as I know you mentioned bees and wasps. Are they swarming? Are they what will people see on their properties?
Yeah, that's perfect. They actually are swarming. So what happens is we'll start with bees, and they are in their hives, whether they're in a tree or a cave or a hole or unfortunately maybe someone's home. Exactly. But that hive is growing all winter long. They're producing honey. They're producing young. Those young are becoming adults. And what happens is that beehive gets very, very large, and it outgrows the space. So the colony creates an additional queen, and that queen absconds or in a sense takes off and takes about half the colony with her to create room. It also allows that colony to expand, in the area. So that's what you see of these swarms, and that's a colony that has gotten so big that they cut in half, and a queen is in the middle of that swarm. When you see one of those big clouds of bees, there's actually a queen somewhere in the middle. And they're looking for a new place, and hopefully it won't be your home. Maybe it'll be a hollow cactus or a knot in a tree or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about that. Do they vote on who gets to go?
No voting. No voting.
I have a more serious question. So
you are recruited. You're voluntold.
If someone does have a swarm on their property, how long do you tell them to wait before they actually address that swarm?
Yeah, I tell people give it, 3 to 5 days. It sometimes, depending on the weather, when it's real windy, like it has been, say, this week, they're not going to move. They're going to stay, they're going to hunker down, and they're going to stay in that ball, that hive, if you would, that ball of bees. until the weather is nice and calm, then they'll take off again. And so it could be, they could be gone in 24 hours. They could be gone 2 days, 5 days. I've seen swarms come in, hang on a tree or underneath someone's eave for, and stay there for 2 weeks. And eventually they move on. Every now and then, they decide to try and make that a spot to set up a, you know, a colony. Unfortunately, they don't want to be exposed, so that doesn't work out real well. When they start building that beautiful white honeycomb, if it's exposed and hanging, say, underneath an eave, that may not last long. It's exposed to predators, the elements. They really do want to get inside a hollow void where they can protect that nursery and the honey.
So a business may not have the luxury of 3 days if they have customers coming and going.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so there you have two options, you know, and just to be real frank, when it comes to bee control, and you do have a sensitive situation, a daycare, a school, nursing home, you know, or maybe it's just a single residence and someone is highly allergic to a bee sting. They don't want to hear, hey, they're going to be gone in 5 days. You know, Sandra said that, you know, something has to happen. You can actually there are bee services out there that will remove them live. And there's quality companies out there. Bee Bustin' is one of them. AAA Bee Control is another. These are good companies. But the other option is you can, exterminate the bees. Some soapy water and, you know, the bees are easily eradicated. You know, it's not the first option again. You know, we always want to see if we can get those bees relocated or have them move on. But every now and then, eradication is unfortunately a process that should take place.
Is there a risk of those bees being a little bit more aggressive because they're trying to protect that queen that's in the middle of the...
You know, ultimately, they're the most aggressive when they're protecting a nursery. So the most aggressive bees will be is when there is an established hive and they do have now a colony. There's young. That's what I mean by a nursery, right? There's babies. They've got honey development. That's when they really defend. When they're swarming, they're really preoccupied in just protecting the queen, keeping her safe, and staying close. So they're not as threatening. Now, you know, if you go up and throw a big rock at it, I think you've got some problems, you know. But you can go right up to a swarm. And again, there's nothing really to protect except just keep the queen centered and try to figure out what the next instructions are. So they're not as threatening.
And what about the wasps?
So wasps are another stinging friend out there that has really been more prevalent the last several years. A lot of blooms. We have a lot more foliage. You know, listen, as our population has increased, everything increases. That's just how it works. There's more humidity. There's more moisture. There are more plants, exotic plants, grasses, you know, people from different parts of the country. All that to say, wasps are definitely increasing. They get up on our rooftops underneath our tile. They make their way through our roof vents, and they become more problematic over the last several years, for sure.
So if we have any trouble, we can just call you. We don't have to be the expert.
You don't have to be. We will be the expert for you, and we'll protect you.
All right.
While we eliminate them.
We thank you, Rico. And Rico,
hey, Rico, I'm here to serve.
And Rico Pest Prevention. We're heading to the break. Thank you for spending part of your afternoon with us. You're listening to the IM Real Estate Show on 1030 AM KVOI. Hi, you're back with the Johnson Smith team, and we're here with Rigo Arce, owner of Pest Prevention. This company has been serving the Old Pueblo for over 16 years.
So, you know, speaking of flying bugs, there was this massive bug that we saw the other day at my house, and my son asks me, what is this bug? And I said, I don't know what it is. And he's like, well, is it going to get me? And I said, I don't think so. Just leave it alone. And then he keeps asking me, but what is it? What is it? And I said, don't worry. It's not going to bite you unless you're naughty. And his eyes get wide, and he says, oh, no, it's going to get my sister. And, you know. Never know about that one, but what are these
brothers, crazy
bugs that are flying around? They look like giant mosquitoes, but what are they?
You know, before you even said giant mosquito, I knew exactly what you were talking about, you know, because it is the first insect of spring that comes out. In fact, in my office, and by the way, Matthew won the gift card this year, but in my office, every year,
Congratulations, Matthew.
Spring, I give out a gift card to the first sighting of this insect. and the tech has to take a picture and he has to submit it in the group text, and sure enough, Matthew got it this year. So that giant mosquito killer, right, or that giant mosquito, I hear different phrases, but it's actually called a crane fly. It's a fly.
What?
It's actually a fly. It doesn't bite. And it is just a very unusual looking insect, right, an unusual looking fly. Interestingly enough, very much like the Palaverde beetle that comes out, you know, that's like the insect of summer. Right. Each season right. has its insects. So, you know, there's many of them, but the one that really says, ooh, summer's here. Well, in this case, the crane fly signifies spring is in the air, you know, every single year. The crane fly is a nuisance insect, just kind of buzzing around. And of course, you got your front porch light on, open up the door. You got seven crane flies in the yeah. house. Annoying. Yeah. Most of its life, just like the Palaverde beetle, is in the form of a larva. Like a grub or a, you know, a worm, if you would, right? Like a caterpillar.
Right.
And so they, most of their life is a larva, and the larva is the one that eats, and it eats, you know, like decaying organic matter and grasses and down in the roots. But when it becomes an adult crane fly, all they do is reproduce, lay some eggs, and boom, off they go. They're done. They're finished. They don't even eat. They don't even eat. They just annoy you.
So they don't even eat little kids
they
that
don't
are naughty.
Eat little brothers. They don't eat naughty sisters.
I'll have to let my kids know.
Yep. That's, so it's called a crane fly. And there you go. So you can use that at your next cocktail hour. You're good to go.
And what about our other swarming flying insects we see when the rains come out?
So, you know, again, earlier in the segment, we talked about bees and wasps.
Yeah.
They are most definitely active. Got a really neat little insect called a lace wing. It's kind of a small, greenish, transparent-looking little flying insect. Again, just a nuisance. You know, most of the desert pests are just... they're fairly beneficial, and they just can be annoying or nuisance. Yeah. They're not dangerous in any way. And so when you learn to appreciate that, you know, you just can, you know, manage the porch lights or keep the windows and doors sealed, or, you know, sanitation is a great practice. Keep the moisture down. You can really control a lot of this volume. You know, pest control is there as a source if you need it.
You know?
Now, there's preventative measures to keep the dangerous ones away, right? Our scorpions and centipedes and black widows. But in the end, a pest control company that you really want on staff is somebody that's going to give you a lot of advice and a lot of direction and just calm the nerves, okay?
Right, right.
Protect the sisters, you know, and the naughty ones. And say, listen, let's not overreact. Here's what you do. Here, I just was on the phone on the way here with somebody, and I gave him about 20 minutes of direction, and he didn't buy a thing. And that was fine with me.
Right.
He's now educated. He's going to go take care of some rodent issues. And if it doesn't work or he needs help, he knows where to go. And that's service to me.
Yeah. It is. That's actually, I love that about you, because you even mention other companies. If you can't help someone, you'll refer them to someone that's going to give them some good service.
Yeah.
What about those termites?
Yeah. So talk about swarming. Now, you know, the big swarming season for termites is definitely in the fall after the monsoon rains, or right in the middle of them. Okay. We can get a swarming event in the spring as well. It depends on the level of humidity. Humidity is really a big factor. The temperatures right now are such that it's keeping the humidity a bit down. That sun, you might have noticed today as we came into the studio, it's starting to really pop out. We may get some swarming sessions before, you know, the dry summer hits. So I'm kind of anxious to see what happens.
Right.
If you've ever driven down the road and you run through what I call a funnel cloud, looks like a little tornado.
Yeah.
Those are either swarming termites or swarming ants. And of course, you've got to all pass the quiz right now, okay? So if you get out of the car and you grab by the wings this little insect that just you pelted with the windshield, okay? And you pick it up and you look at it, if it's shaped like this, what would that be?
He showed like a figure eight.
Like a figure eight. It's going to be an ant. That's a swarming ant. But if it looks like this.
Straight line.
Straight down. Very good, Ray. I'm taking
this is radio.
Me.
This is radio, Ray.
This is radio. Hey,
we're doing visualization
that's why
here.
I've got Ray here. That's going to be a termite. It's shaped like a cigar. Straight down. No pinched waist, right? So anyway, it's kind of fun, a little thing that you share with people, and you know they can tell their friends, and now you're an expert. But there are very key indicators that can distinguish between ants and termites. Swarming is a necessary thing in the bug world. This is how insects expand, survive, expand their colonies. And we just need to understand that and manage that appropriately.
And hope the neighbor's house is more attractive than ours.
You hope so. You hope so.
And if someone is seeing swarming, is there any point where they should be letting you know to come and check and see if it's becoming a problem at their house?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. I think getting a set of eyes on a home is always a good thing, just to be safe. Typically, the swarms are occurring out in the desert and end up in your pool, on your windshield, up on top of the roof. But, you know, those little fellas are crawling around and they're looking for an opportunity to get into some damaged wood, maybe crawl into the soil right at the base of the house, and you could have a challenge there. So getting a free inspection, always a good idea. Never would turn that away.
Is there a insect that available that hurts the roof at all, that sits on a roof and affects the roof or anything at all?
You know, when you said that, the very first thing, I'm certain you're not even going to expect this, but yes, there is, and it's not an insect. It is a pest, right? And that's pigeons. Birds.
Gotcha.
I'll tell you what,
birds
on top of a roof can really decay that white coat, shingle, even tile for that matter. It is highly acidic. And of course, we've got solar panels, we've got HVAC units, we have, swamp coolers and other devices up on top of the roof. They nest underneath those and they just sit there and defecate, okay?
Right.
That is that's some nasty stuff, and that will decay a roof. That's the one pest that immediately comes to mind when it comes to roof protection and thwarting off any damage.
Is that your area of expertise?
It is. We have limitations, and so there is some work I'll take on. One example that I don't take on would be solar panels. I really, that's a very tricky sort of work, especially with tile. There are some excellent pest control companies out there that specialize in that sort of pigeon exclusion, and we would recommend them.
I've seen that where it's gone untreated for so long that now you've got all this debris holding moisture against that roof.
Yeah.
And not only is it acidic, it's not healthy for someone to go up and take care of that themselves. So we certainly appreciate companies like yours that are out there keeping us safe and our roofs in good condition.
You're listening to the Johnson Smith team, and we have Rego Arce, the owner of Rego Pest Prevention, with us. We got one more segment with the pillar of the Tucson community, Rego Arce.
Right on.
We're back. Let's continue our conversation with Rego Arce, owner of Rego Pest Prevention. It's a local company and winner of multiple service awards. Let's talk about your service awards before we get on to that. How many awards have you won this year? I mean, over the years?
Well, for the last 4 years, we've been voted Tucson's number one pest control company in the Reader's Choice Awards, which we are extremely proud of. That is, a local, Tucson resident voting.
Right.
That speaks volumes to us, and we don't pay for those votes. They're just organically registered. And we couldn't be more flattered to be voted that way. There's a lot of great companies out there.
Yeah. I was thinking. A lot of big companies that have.
And I know a lot of the owners, and it's, I consider it a tremendous honor. And so that's a big one. Then, of course, just, nationally with the different advertisings, we're one of Home Advisors and Angie's List top vendors of, to be, dialed in on. Yelp is a good one. Our reviews are outstanding there. We've gotten a couple of Yelp awards over the years. So.
Great job.
I didn't even know Yelp gave out awards.
Yeah, Better Business Bureau. So I've been nominated for the Torch Award a number of years. Need to follow through on that. That's actually quite an honor. There's a lot of things that you need to do to submit and then get nominated and then eventually maybe voted for. But all of those really in the end are just indicative of a staff of employees that we're really proud of. I ask, someone will say, hey, what makes a really good pest control company? And the very first thing, every time I say it without fail, is it's the employees.
Right.
That's it. It's not, everyone has the same access to the chemicals, the equipment, the training. It's all out there. Now some companies will go a little deeper and take it more seriously, right? But when it's all said and done, it's the staff. And if you want to measure a good pest control company, are your employees happy? Are their employees? What's their retention?
Mm-hmm.
And the average retention of my staff right now is running 5 to 6 years which that's in our awesome. Industry is outstanding. I mean, right. So I've got 9, 10 years, and then I've got people that are 1 to 3 or 4. You know, our average is running between 5 and 6 years, which is extremely strong. Nationally, the average is 1.5 years.
Wow.
But I'm thinking of most of the reasons why those guys are leaving in 1.5 years are not because they're mad at the company. They just got a better option. And I'm sure they come and talk to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, when I have an employee that's invested that much time and there's an opportunity knocking on their door, mm-hmm. I tell them, you know, I give them blessing and say, you know, go and take care of your family. You know, do what's good for you, what makes sense. I believe in things happen for reasons and also for seasons. Mm-hmm. And time with Rego Pest is one that we cherish. And when it's come to an end, it's come to an end. There's no, and the door is always open. You know, everybody that has left my organization in the 16 years I've owned it, the door's open for all of them. You know, and so I hear great stories of some that have moved on and they're doing other things, and I couldn't be happier for them.
Yeah, that's really awesome. It speaks a lot about the opportunity that you provide to your employees. One of the things that you recently talked to us about was I want to say part of your company culture being one of giving.
Right. Yeah, that's important to us. And we're always looking for opportunities to meet the needs of people in crisis locally or abroad. And so we came up with awarding our employee of the month, if you would, not just a night out to dinner with the spouse or significant other, but you know, we wanted to go beyond that. So we make a donation on their behalf of their favorite charity. And one of our young ladies, one of my administrators, was awarded this past month. And so she chose Young Life, which is a children's camp up in Williams, Arizona. And they have an incredible facility up there. If you're interested, check it out. Go on their website, younglife.com. And they cater to young adults, young children with disabilities. And it's a camp that is designed to not only have fun with them, but also equip them, prepare them for, you know, some sort of vocation. They do a lot of different activities up there and build their self-esteem and so forth. Anyway, this young lady is all about kids, and she's all about meeting the needs of people. And so she chose Young Life. And so we were happy to do that. So now the next award winner will choose their charity, and we'll be happy to support that.
That's awesome. I'm just going to say, if you're not posting that on social media with a link to those organizations, you need to.
Yeah, well, you and I talked about that just recently. And for those that don't know, I had the tremendous pleasure of bringing on one of my partners on staff in late 22. So I've tasked him, and he's gladly accepted to take on our social media. And so we're getting our feet wet. We're dialing that in. You know, we've grown very organically over the 16 years, which I'm proud of. But we want to be a little more intentional this next, you know, 5 years, say. Uh-huh. So John, his name's John Patton, great guy. And John is going to help facilitate that. So you're right. We need to get him to bolster that and
celebrate those. And give those organizations kind of a second look,
yes.
You know, and a second life, if you will,
right,
on social media. That's awesome, because I've never heard of them.
Oh, so yeah, that's, they're fantastic. Really cool. Absolutely, yeah.
It's such a cool thing, too, to see the local community supporting other aspects of the community, to be supporting these nonprofits. And I'm really impressed to hear that you said locally and abroad.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you said that, because just recently, one of our organization we support, Global Training Network, they do Bible ministry and teaching in foreign countries, and they raise up indigenous pastors to teach and cater to the needs of orphans and widows and so forth. Anyway, in Rwanda right now, there is, Uganda, there is quite a little bit of a crisis going on, and there's a tremendous amount of refugees, and we were just notified of displaced residents. And so we immediately felt compelled to give. And so we stroked the pen, got it out there, and we're right now praying over a great deal of refugees that we got pictures. They're basically camped on the side of a river somewhere. It looks like something out of a war movie. Lean-tos and tarps and cardboard and, you know, you name it. Tremendous risk for these children and these people. And so a great need is over there. And so there's an example of abroad. We just love helping.
That's awesome. Yeah. Would you tell our listeners again how to reach your company?
Yeah. So by phone, it's 744-6177. That's 744-6177. And our website is real easy. It's rigopest.com, RIGOPEST.com. And take a look. We really appreciate working with you folks, and we just love your heartbeat and aligning with you. And we, you know, we're kindred here. I love it. I love being with you guys.
We want to thank Rigo RC for being here, the owner of Rigo Pest Prevention. The Johnson Smith team is your resource for all real estate, all things real estate. Give us a call, 520-850-1725. 520-904-711 or 520-373-6864.
Welcome back to our last segment. We're here with Ray, Sandra, and Danielle. And we're one of our best friends who is John McClain, the pastor of Veteran Rescue Mission. He's a radio host and
a loving father and son and husband.
Now that I bring it up, how's Candace?
She's great, yeah.
Candace, we said your name on the radio.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely listening. Yeah, she's just over 6 months pregnant now, so she's just, you know, enjoying life, kind of just incubating a baby, as she puts it. And, yeah, I'm just trying to take care of her the best I can, so yeah, for sure.
I will say, she was glowing when I saw her. She looks so good, and so...
She's adorable.
Yeah.
She's absolutely adorable, yeah. She certainly makes me love pregnant women in a new way, so yeah. Yeah, I'm a blessed man.
We
so
can just sit here and talk about Candace. We don't really...
Yeah, Candace.
I was going to say, you're saying 6 months pregnant right now. What that says to me is summertime, 9 months pregnant, that's going to be...
Yeah, that's what people keep telling me. Yeah, that's what people keep saying, but I'm not going to tell her. So,
bring her the ice cubes, get her a fan.
Yeah, for sure.
Set her up.
Thankfully, we got sold a house by our best friends that got us a really nice house that has really good HVAC systems. So
I'm
thankful to Ray and Sandra with Indy Realty for that.
Well, we absolutely loved helping you guys find such a beautiful home. So thank you for trusting us.
Yeah.
What do you got going on?
Well, definitely. I mean, the two big things we want to make sure that we talk about today are our Business and Bibles Breakfast at the Arizona Sands Club, the first Wednesday of every month from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., where we definitely invite anybody of faith to come join us and let us know about your organization and the different organizations that you're helping out at. But particularly, this is obviously a mechanism that we at the Sands Club are using to try to get more people to join the Arizona Sands Club.
Because, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of, in a lot of ways, how we all got brought together.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you have not... You know, if you don't have a friend that's a member of the Sands Club, or if you haven't been over there to at least take a tour of the Sands Club, I highly suggest it. It's one of the most amazing kind of places to network, to connect with people. Great food over there. And we'll be hosting a 2-hour networking meeting the first Wednesday of every month there. And hopefully you guys will be able to join us every now and again. I know you guys are just, Wednesdays are a busy day for you, I want to think. But every day is a busy day for you.
Breakfast at the club to lunch at Rotary. So it's just pretty much an eating day for me.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I like to think
of networking.
That's the way I describe my life to my wife, is just, I just have lunch and breakfast with people, and that's pretty much what it is.
I used to tell people, when they would say, what do you do? I would tell them, I'm a professional lunch attendee.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
We should start like a food critic show or something like that, because I'm sure we probably have so many different meals. We have
I was thinking of that today.
I will tell you, because
I have somebody in mind. I was thinking they should be a food critic.
That's funny.
What's your second thing you got going on you wanted to bring up?
And then it's a little bit later. It's around Memorial Day, late May, but I want to start ramping up and getting people involved in it now. I know it's on the market.
You can't say late May. You have to say May 29th, because your birthday is May 28th.
Okay, May 29th. Even though May 20th,
I'm just being the pain.
We're going to start there. We're going to start on May 27th. That we're going to do. This will be the 13th year.
Wow.
That I've led a group to go sleep on the streets, set up a base camp in the middle of downtown Tucson, and we're going to scour Tucson to find homeless veterans to get them connected with benefits.
That's amazing.
Which is, you know, it's what we do ostensibly, but every year we make this big effort, at least for a weekend, to go out and locate as many unhoused people as we can and get them to the shelters, get them to the benefit navigator, get them to the people that can help them, because a lot of people don't realize is they don't know. So we're out there to help them. And last November, when we did the last one on Veterans Day, we located 17 people that we got into shelters, and wow, five of them that we got into our own shelter. So we're really excited about that, and we need anybody that can go to veteranrescuemission.org, donate there, contact me. If you have physical donations, gift cards is a big thing that we're asking for, particularly from Walmart, so that way we can get sleeping bags, cots, blankets, all different items that we can give out to people when we're out there, so that way we can make that connection so we can guide them to the services they need.
And Tucson has had kind of a new campaign that they've started where they're asking people, don't give people money, but support the organizations mm-hmm. that are getting people help. So are there other organizations that you're partnering with as well when you're finding services for the unhoused?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I think the big thing that we do and the big push that's happening, even with the city and county collaborating right now, is we've all come to the realization that this idea that the help's out there for the people that need it, they just don't want it. The help is out there for the people that need it. It's not that they don't want it. They just don't know.
They don't know how to get to it.
They don't know. And most people think that there's just, you know, this magic place that you go to and you push the button and they hand you keys and they hand you a food stamp card. They hand you a car keys. They hand you a job. But that's not how it works. So
it takes a little effort. Sometimes people are afraid of that effort, and you help them overcome that effort.
And one time, you know, when I was on the Mark Bishop show earlier today, we were talking about it. It's like, at one time, this man talking to you right now, beautiful listeners, was homeless, and I needed a pastor to hold my hand and take me to my medical appointment, my therapist appointment, take me to the VA, and take me to my housing appointment, and really be like, John, quit being stubborn, bud. This is what you need to do to get to the next step.
Right. Yeah.
I was actually at a Rotary meeting, and the Crime Free Coalition was speaking, and they said that there were 160 available beds in Tucson at the time and this was 2 weeks ago, I think. And I was shocked. I assumed that the beds were all full, but hearing what you're saying, it's just really that people need someone to stand by them and help them find those resources.
Yeah, I think it's twofold. There's that. There's certainly, we need people to hold people's hands. We need more navigators, which is something that I think the city and the county and most agencies are putting a lot of energy into getting the social service providers out there to do that. But then there's also, there are a lot of people that really, as surprising as it may sound, aren't ready to go and stay at the Gospel tonight or stay at the Salvation Army tonight. They need something to prepare them for that. You know, in other cities, they have sanctioned encampments and they have sanctioned tiny house villages. And just like our program, there are 300 people that have been willing to stay in our program and help us get them connected with housing that had never stayed at the Salvation Army, the Gospel Rescue Mission, or any of the other shelters because they didn't accommodate their needs.
That's, again, surprising to hear. But if you think about it, we all have different things that we respond to. Mm-hmm. And I can totally see where, and especially because you're focused on homeless veterans as well, that there may be other challenges that aren't apparent on the surface. And you have to really have walked in someone's shoes maybe to understand where they're coming from.
Which makes you a great advocate because you've experienced it and you've come through it. And they can look at you and say, I was here once, and look where I'm at now. Mm. But it takes time. It takes somebody to hold your hand to get you there.
Yeah.
And you just got to remind them, somebody's going to hold your hand. We'll get you there. You just got to want to go there.
Yeah, I mean, and that wanting, as like Martin Luther King said, that consensus is shaped. It's not something that just comes about. You shape consensus. So in getting somebody to get help and accept that they have mental health issues and they need housing assistance, they need this issues, you shape that. you don't just come to somebody and find them on the street in the worst condition and be like, you ready for help? Okay.
Yeah.
You're not ready? I'll be back in a week when you are ready.
Yeah.
You know.
Are there challenges that people have as far as not having ID and things that are barriers for them when they are ready to get help?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's a part of that is the hand holding process. I mean, when I find somebody on the street, a homeless veteran, and I get them back to Veteran Rescue Mission, the first thing I tell them, first week, just relax. You know, all your big ideas, don't worry about it. Just sleep. We got food here. Mm-hmm. Get better. And then after that, I sit them down with a 25-point program that is a list of the different things that they're going to need to be independent.
Right.
And that starts out with their birth certificate, Social Security card, ID, driver's license. And then we're looking at job interview prep, clothes, applying for jobs. And then we're looking at maybe entrepreneur workshop and think about maybe some of the ideas that they have of different businesses that they'd like to do. So certainly everybody kind of has their different pathways, but I think there's these fundamental documents, this kind of this readiness, we call it, that we try to help people do.
I can imagine too that some of them are going to struggle a little bit with wanting to trust someone that they don't know,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of them have probably been burned in some way in the past, or you know, someone comes and says they want to help and then they don't follow through.
Yeah.
And so actually being there for them and sticking it out and staying with them is just really important.
Yeah, and I think that's partially just being there. It just, you naturally are empathic to it. You know, you went through it, so it's hard for you not to care a little bit more than somebody who hadn't.
We appreciate the work that you're doing and the respect that you give the people that you're working with and the love and care that you share with them.
Thank you.
Tell our listeners again how they can reach out to you if they have any questions or any way they want to come alongside you.
Yeah, definitely go to veteranrescuemission.org or go to homecommunityservices.com. And then my phone number is 520-329-9192. I'd like to say I'm going to build the moniker of the most receptive executive director in the city of Tucson. So if you call 329-9192, I promise you, I will answer you.
And an additional thank you to all of our amazing sponsors, Indy Realty, Inspired Life Mortgage, Rego Pest Prevention, Pioneer Title Agency, and Caring Transitions. When you're one of our sponsors, let them know, or when you see one of them, let them know that Sandra, Raymond, and Danielle sent you.
Thank you, Pastor, for coming on the show and sharing that with us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I love you.
Don't
guys.
Don't forget about the events he talked about, guys.
You'll,
try to support
owe me lunch.
Us.
I want lunch soon.
Okay.
You got it.
At the Sands Club.
Yeah, you know it.